Praise ye the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of sharing testimony. Tell of his greatness. Don't hide it. Praise the Lord. In the congregation of his saints. Blessed be the wonderful name of the Lord. Father, we are gathered here again around your word, Lord. Father, we commit all things to your hand. Any kind of a burden that may be in the audience this morning, let not any of us live with them again. As we leave them in the hand of the Lord. 4 Thessalonians 5:7 says, casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. Amen. That's what fellowship is all about. Read the word of God. Say that what we have found, that I did it there. That word is the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. As we read the word this morning, this is the rejoicing of our heart. Not only today, but going forward. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Another prophet in the Bible said that, you know, it says that war was like fire in my bones, sir. Amen. Let it be so with us, Lord. Father, we cast all our cares upon you as we read your word this morning.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' holy name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You know, Christianity. There are two ways God's people do things with the Lord. In the sense of the Lord, there are two ways to it. Either, you know, God's people know something or they don't know it. Either you know, you don't know. If you don't know, you can't act on God's word, right? You can't act on what you don't know. Praise the Lord. Those who know, there are two paths to it. If they know it, they are they are at liberty to act on it if they want to. Or they can go in the way of the world and deny what they know it. They know but they deny it, right? We know the Bible, I give an example of the Bible. In Acts chapter 19, I believe it is, Apostle Paul, walking through the upper court of Ephesus, found 12 disciples. Have you received the Holy Ghost you see believe? They say, don't even know that there's any Holy Ghost. They don't know, right? They couldn't act on that order. They couldn't ask God for the Holy Ghost. They don't know. Paul said, unto whom then are you baptized? Oh, the baptism of John. Then the Bible says, then they are of them, and they all receive the Holy Ghost, all the 12 of them. Praise the Lord. That is the basis of the Ephesian church. Very, very strong church. They began with the Holy Ghost, right? And we knew that even the Lord, in the book of Revelation, so Paul could tell them many, many things. He could tell them predestination. He was choosing him before the foundation of the world, right? He could tell them all of those things. Not only to them, but all of the church of God, right? And the book of Revelation, the Lord chose Ephesus as one of the 7 churches to pattern the history of the church, right? And Ephesians was a very strong one. And the Lord told them, many, many things. The only thing they lacked was they were getting away from their first love. But they did many, many fine things. For example, those who said they were apostles, they found to be liars, right?
Yes.
Because they had the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And the deeds of the Nicolaitans, to conquer the lady. The Lord said, which I hate, those especially they hated it. Why? Because they had the Holy Ghost, amen?
Yes.
That's how the church began. They were stronger. They could discern. Those who come to the church and say they are this and that, they just say you are liars, And they found them. And so there are some who know and then they forget. They say, they throw away what they know. And they were deceived. Someone told them that resurrection is past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they believe it, right? And they said, so we can see now those who know there are two ways to either they continue in what they know or they deny what they know. So that's how it goes. And if you don't know, then you don't act. So this morning I want to talk about something, this morning and something like that, along that line, So, a noted minister, an author, one as an aged servant of God. So this guy is a minister. Then he has an older minister with him. And asking this question, what are the prospects of revival? The old man. What are the prospects of revival? Without any hesitation, this old servant of God said, the prospects of revival are as bright as the promises of God. Praise the Lord. The prospects of revival are as bright as the promises of God. So today, some are believing, is that going to be a revival to close the age? Some used to believe it. Like I said, they know. Those who don't know, right? They can't ask for revival, but they don't know. Some who know, By now, they are weary, they are tired. Where is the revival and some of that, you know? Where is the hope of his coming? That the coming of Christ itself, right? Some used to believe it. They don't believe anymore. Since the Father left, where is the hope of his coming? Are all things remain the same? Are all things remaining the same? Mm-hmm. Day by day, things are changing, right? Mm-hmm. So they know before, now, but they don't believe anymore. Where is the hope of his coming? So it's also revival. So this morning, will that be a revival? Yes. This morning, by the grace of God, the latter rain of promise. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Latter rain of promise. By the promises of revivals in the Bible, God's people down through the centuries of the church's history have been led and moved to plead with him to send revivals. And he has done it again and again in answer to their burdened prayers. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible promises revival closing this age. I want to take, we know people pray, there are many prayer meetings in the world today. I don't know what they pray about really, you know. Did they pray about this revival as going to come at the end of the age? Does the Bible promise one? Let's look at the Bible, amen. And if he promises one, let us be of them. We're not careless, but to really do what we should do about it, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Following are some of the promises of revival. There are many in the Bible. Ezekiel 34:26. And I will make them and the places round about my hills a blessing. And I will call the shower to come down in a season. What is that close? Season, right? I listen to it, right? There shall be showers of blessings, amen? One of many promises about revival and so in the Bible and so on. Isaiah 35:1. The wilderness.
Sorry, first Job.
It's in Ezekiel 34:26. Then Isaiah 35:1-2. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. But still it says, strengthen ye the weak hands, sir, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a feeble or of fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then, watch this, what is now? Then shall the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap at your heart, and the tongue of the dumb sink. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Praise the Lord Jesus. Promises of the Bible and some of that. Number 7 says, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with knees, reeds, and rushes. Where some will say these are Old Testament prophecies, and they may seem to refer to national Israel and find their fulfillment in a dispensation other than the church age. That's why we say that. I don't dispute that the primary application is to Israel. That's true. I don't dispute that. So the primary application to that, is to Israel. But it would be a great mistake to confine such glorious promises to their immediate and literal fulfillment. God never intended that we should limit his word in this way, by restricting his precious promises to dispensational PGOs. You don't do that, for he has not done so himself. So, if when in the past revival, the Spirit of God caused these Old Testament promises to come alive in the hearts of his children and gave them faith to appropriate them in prayer and to plead them before the Lord until the answer came from heaven. So the past revivals, many of them, they used this same scripture I told you about in the Old Testament, and God honored those prayers, and there came revivals, right? Praise the Lord. They did, so who are we today to suggest that this is a misapplication of God's promises to Israel? Who are we to say that? Great, remember, they used this same scripture, and the Bible came, right? So who are we to come and say, no, that's just for the old time or for Israel? You know, we can't do that. The outcome is conclusive, or no, that God does not think so. So God's word, is eternal. So indeed, many Bible prophecies do have dual or multiple fulfillments. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a God of wonders, miracles, and so on. That the family remember this is Israel, but many prophets in the Bible, they have a dual or multiple fulfillments and so on. They have a near term one for the original audience, like Israel, and a long term one pointing either to the coming of Christ or to the end time. So many prophets in the Bible are like that. One of the promises constantly pleaded in almost every revival and to which God responded is in Isaiah 44. I want to read more of the 44 verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Now, that's Old Testament, right? But many revivals use that scripture and God answer back. And to even show that this promise of a revival is not confined to the Old Testament, there is a counterpart of this same scripture in the New Testament. So, in John 7:37-38, here is what the Lord said. Remember that 30 with 30, right? In John 7:37. The last day, the Lord put the last day there, you know, that great day of the feast in Jerusalem and so on. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, that was what he did in Isaiah 40, if any man thirst, right, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, and the scripture, what scripture? Old Testament scripture, amen, praise the Lord. As the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the teaching in both passages is the same. And it is the old principle of revival that personal task is assuaged by the water of the Spirit, resulting in an overflow of blessing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That is hungry and thirsty for righteousness shall be filled, right? Bible says, praise the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, Apostle Peter was inspired by the Holy Ghost to quote a prophecy from the prophet Joel, thus relating the prophecy to the church age. Here is a very consequence. We want to show you that these things are not related to the Old Testament alone. They have, many of them have, they have indication of the New Testament and church age. Let's go to Acts 2:17. And it shall come to pass. In the last days, he said, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So, Apostle Peter is still talking. In his address, in the porch of the temple, Apostle Peter continued in Acts 3:19. Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be forgiven or be blotted out, rather. I told those Jews and so, but today it's applicable too. Now, what is it? When the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So, let's not look at that scripture very critically and so on. We notice that in that scripture, the order is set forth here, and it's important. Number one, repentance, amen. Praise the Lord. And then returning to the Lord. Number two, seasons of refreshing from the Lord's presence. Number three, the return of Christ. So three things are mentioned, right? So now, how can we not? So that it's just as definite as the promise of the return of Christ is, so is this promise of the times of refreshing before it comes, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's that simple, you say, repair people and so on. And then there'll be a time of refreshing, right? Then he will send Christ. telling us right there that be a refreshing just before the coming of the Lord. Praise
Amen.
The Lord Jesus. How many people are expecting in the prayer meeting, somebody, what are they praying about? Amen? Question, good question, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you are expecting the coming of the Lord, you have to put all things together that pertain to that coming of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, let us look at the original prophecy from Joel. The latter half of Joel 2, from which Apostle Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, applies primarily, I use the word primarily, right, to the time of Israel's national restoration. That is the original something. But like, as we know now, it's not the final one, not the only one really. So this morning we show that at the end of the age, there will be a refreshing just before the Lord comes. And our point that will come. And it will still be back to the Jews too. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, this is already picked up from the Bible and show from the scripture that this is the truth. Really truth and so on. So people have been praying for the Bible, they should sit on their knees. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Those who are not, they should learn that, you know, so those who know don't act right. Those who don't know, they cannot act right. But if we know, we should act. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See? Anyway, so Joel 2:12. I mean, just paraphrase them to save time here. Joel 2:12-17 relates to a day when Israel was has responded to the call of the Lord and our people have turned to him with all their hearts. That is in Joel 2:12-17, paraphrasing right there. Then in Joel 2:18-19, the Lord will then have pity upon them and cause that there should be no more a reproach among the nations. That's just paraphrasing right there. Then in verse 20, after the Lord had driven away from them the northern army, then in verse 22-34, he will bless their land by restoring the former rain. See? The former rain and the later rain. That is in Joel 2:23-34. That the floor shall be full of wheat and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And then in the 27th verse of Joel 2, they will know that the Lord was in the midst of them. And after this, the Lord promised to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. In the familiar prophecy that Apostle Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, right? Then in Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward, he said, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit.
Amen.
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the greater and the terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now the first verse of Joel 3. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. So we see in those six verses, you know, they contain the prophecies of restoration of the rain and of the outpouring of the Spirit. There are two things in there, you know, restoration of the rain and of the outpouring of the Spirit, which was to follow. And as far as we know, they must be taken literally, both of them, both the prosperity of the land, the outpouring of the Spirit, they must be taken literally. You know, people like to spiritualize things, right? But they must be taken, you know, they must be taken literally and some of that, you know. So anyway, we cannot take one literally and spiritualize the other one. You can't do it. For example, the outpouring of the Spirit cannot be figurative, right? It has to come to pass, right? Praise the Lord. So we know that. So, and therefore the promise of the former and the later rain must also be taken literally. And first of all, to mean that those special seasons of rain in Palestine to which the Jewish farmer looked in order to obtain maximum fertility from the from the soil to be restored in full measure, you know, as in the beginning. And that this it will take place at the time of Israel's national restoration. Now, but afterward, as Jesus said, this natural and temporal blessing was to be followed by their spiritual counterpart. There was to be an outpouring of the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Outpouring of the Spirit. You know, I feel that, you know. Not upon selected ones here and there, you know. But upon all flesh, the Bible says, God's word is true. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We read in Joel 2, 30 to 31, it says, this was to be accompanied by wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and was to precede the great and terrible day of the Lord. 32nd verse of Joel 2 says, there will be a calling on the name of the Lord for deliverance. And in Joel 3:1, which you read before, all this was to be when God should bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem as he had promised. It is evident from this scripture that the prophecy, as you find it here in Joel, has not been fully fulfilled. Not fully fulfilled, because we haven't seen the day of the Lord come. So it's not fully fulfilled yet, as long as you know. And it must wait that day when worldwide blessing shall come through national Israel turning to God. When according to Romans 11:26, all Israel shall be saved. And according to Isaiah 66 verse 8, when the nation of Israel shall be born at once. For as soon as Zion travailed, said, Isaiah 66 verse 8, she brought forth children. So that means we wait. Or in Romans 11:15, express it this way. For if casting away of them, meaning Israel, did the reconciling of the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Talking about this revival at the end of the age and so on, Paul to the Jews and so on, that you know, to the Gentiles and to the Jews alike. However, the wonderful fact is that Peter declared on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:17, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then look at something now. And then changing the word afterward, as was used in the Joel, they continue and say, in the last day, he changed the afterward to in the last day. According to Peter, be moved by the Holy Ghost and so on, my spirit upon all flesh. Joel said, afterward. As was said by Revelation, says, in the last days, right? So the inspired apostle does reveal that Joel's prophecy had an earlier application, to the church age. Praise the Lord. That's the thing. So you can't limit to the Old Testament alone. So, and he said the last days, and that's it, that it began on the day of Pentecost, because he was speaking on the day of Pentecost, right? And this is happening. So the last day actually began on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. That's simple. So, Joel thus predicted for Israel, at the time of our national restoration, the return of the former and later day in Palestine, bringing abundant temporal blessing to be followed by a glorious latter reign of the Spirit. That's what Joel prophesied, right? Apostle Peter revealed by divine inspiration that God, by divine inspiration, what could not otherwise have been known from the passage in Joel, that the promised latter reign of the Spirit was also to apply to the church age. That hidden away in that Old Testament prophecy was a secret purpose of God to pour out His Spirit during this age and before the time of Israel's national restoration. And that this began with the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. Bible says upon all flesh, right? That means what? This outpouring was to be unrestricted. Amen? This last outpouring, will be unrestricted. We are told, meaning that as to sex, no, sons and daughters, right? Unrestricted. Amen. What we are looking for are the age places, right? As to age, young men and old men, right? Unrestricted. Praise the Lord. What you know is what you can act on, right? What you don't know, you cannot act on. Praise the Lord. I will not be of them who know and just ignore and are punished, right? We don't want to be that way. And as to the race, to you, talking to the Israel, right? To you and to your children, meaning the Jews, right? And to all that are a part of Gentiles, amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's simple. That's in Acts 2:17-39, right? 39 and so on. So coming that day, great outpouring of both the Gentiles to close the age and also to the Jewish people. So what the Bible is telling us here and something like that, you know. So talking about the latter reign of promise, right? God promised one for the end of the age. So we all know that the issue of the Israel in the Old Testament has a spiritual application to the church. Yeah, the issue of Israel has a spiritual application to the people of God at the end time, meaning the Christian and so on. For example, the redemption of from when they come out of Egypt and they were wandering in the wilderness, they entered the promised land and so on. All this have a fulfillment in Christian experience too. In fact, the New Testament confirms this again and again, for it is packed with Old Testament allusion to illustrate and enforce New Testament truth. And I want to show you a passage in the New Testament to perfect what I'm trying to say here, that the issue of it. Chain of Israel being redeemed from Israel, from Egypt and so on. The New Testament also kind of reflected it and so forth. In 1 Corinthians 10:1, one of the many scriptures. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the clouds, and they all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. I will stop right there. If you read the rest of the chapter, you will see how a wonder not to fall to their errors, right? So, so I will stop there. So anyway, so it is now, what we want to now show is, which I've been saying up to now, is that the promised outpouring of the Spirit referred to by Peter at Pentecost was prefigured by the rain that God promised he would pour out upon the land of Israel in response to their obedience. So that was what he read and something like that, with their obedience. So, one of the promises God gave to them is this, through Moses, when the nation of Israel came out of when they came to Canaan and so on. Deuteronomy 11:14. I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the later rain, that thou mayest gather in that corn, and that wine, and that oil. What I'm saying here is that is the physical temporal blessing of God to the people of Israel. Their land will bring forth and so on. There is also a spiritual one, the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm trying to bring out here and so on like that, So again, Deuteronomy 11:14. I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the later rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thy oil. It is clear from this passage that the harvest was dependent upon the rain, right? And that the rain was promised by God, contingent upon their obedience, right? Now, there are many references in Scripture to the long dry season in Palestine. You don't know how important that Scripture is to the people of Israel and so forth, until you know what happened in Israel in their agricultural life. I want to say about that because God liking it, even many of the Bible scriptures, Bible says, break your paddle ground, things like that, right? So let's talk about it, about Israel and so on. What happened physically in Israel, in the agricultural life, yet you know and see the spiritual impact of that. So there are many references in scripture to the long dry season in Palestine, which so the in Israel, in Palestine, they have a long dry season that starts in April and lasts till October. So we are becoming farmers now. Pretend we are living in Palestine, right? So praise the Lord. For the natural, then the spiritual. Amen. The Bible says, praise the Lord. So they always have a long dry season beginning in April and last till October. Leaving the ground parched and the cisterns almost empty of water. Only those who have experienced this dry season in the land of Israel or Palestine can really appreciate the great longing which fills the hearts of all for the coming rain. And how graphically David depicted this in Psalm 53:1. Hear what David said, to show you the parched land, people crying for water, that long dry season. David said in Psalm 53:1, O God, thou art my God. How long will I seek? My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Amen. Depicting the long dry season that always happen in Israel or in Palestine and so forth. To see how people, yearn for the rainy season to come and so on. Two times in Isaiah, we read in the second of things in Isaiah 32:2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and the covers from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Then verse 7 of Isaiah 35. And the parched ground, you see, they are used to that one, that long dry season in Palestine, right? Or they are used to that kind of thing, so they put in their prophecy and so on, as God led them and so on. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. So you see, to show you that long dry situation that normally happen in Palestine and so on. So they are due to it and so on. So the rainy season usually commences, about the end of October with light showers. So I told you that a longer dry season, right, in Palestine and so on, from April to about October and so forth. And I show you people live in Palestine, they know about this thing, how they yearn for that rain to come. So the rainy season usually commences about the end of October with light showers at first, light showers that soften the ground. You can see the psalmist in Psalm 65:10 saying the thing, thou waterest the riches thereof abundantly, thou settlest the fullness thereof, thou make it soft with showers, thou blessest the springing thereof. Praise the Lord. David is expressing when that rain comes. For that long dry season, right? David recorded both of them and so on that, Now, so we see in 75:10, he said that and so on. The rainy season then continues, beginning from the end of October in Palestine. That means it begins to a little bit shower here and there and so on that, That rainy season then continues from that end of October with heavy intermittent falls, often lasting for 2 or 3 days. You know in Lagos, I think every year it rains for 7 days or something like that, if you live in Lagos and so on. So when the rainy season begins in Palestine, it begins more and more around the end of October. Then gradually it becomes heavy rain that will fall for three or four days in a row, all through November and December. This thing is happening in Palestine and so on. After the long dry season, right? So they have this rain and so on, So these heavy falls were called in scripture the former or early rain. Praise the Lord. We go through the natural and then we're talking about the spiritual right now. We'll go to spiritual later. So they were called in scripture the former or early rain. Or if you like in Hebrew, Moreh, M-O-R-E-H. Praise the Lord. That's what they are called, And that early rain softened the ground for planting and caused seeds to germinate, right? When these heavy falls are over, lesser showers still continue intermittently, and at no period during the winter do they entirely cease at all. They don't cease throughout. They may not be as heavy as Paul, but they keep on, you know, but they are there anyway. So with the approach of the harvest, what happened, however, the heavy rain will return to swell the ground and fruit in preparation for the time of reaping. So what I'm saying is this. So from April to October in Palestine, terrible drought and so on, dry season, right? From the end of October towards November and so on, the rain begins a little bit, then becomes so heavy, you know, and some of that, it becomes so heavy, and they call it moray, and that is the early rain, they call it, and so on that, you know. Then, when the heavy one goes, then it thins down to smaller, you know, it won't be so heavy anymore, you know, but it continues through winter and all of those things. Then, nearly the harvest time, right, the plants in those early rain, right, nearly the harvest time, so with the approach of the harvest, the heavy rain will return to swell the grain and fruit in preparation for the time of reaping. This was known as the later rain. Praise the Lord. So all the time we pray for later rain and so on like that, you know, that's what happened in Israel. Meaning the rain of ingathering. This was very similar in character to the former rain. It becomes so heavy like the one you have in the end of October to November and so on, because it's like the same thing, becomes so heavy. And like that, you know. So for both are described by the Hebrew word Geshem, G-E-S-H-E-M. Both the former and later rain are, you know, the same thing in heaviness, you know, downpour, gushing of rain and so on, you know. So they are the same. Meaning, gushing rain, as read in Jeremiah 5:24. Let us now fear the Lord our God that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He harvest unto us the appointed week of the harvest. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately, and it shall come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fire shall overflow with wine and oil. Hosea 6:3. Then shall we know, if we follow, or to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we see from this that the former and later rain are distinguished from various other kinds of rain spoken of in Scripture completely. You know, they are different. They are like in intensity and outpouring, but they are different from all other kinds of rain mentioned in the Bible and so on, you know. So it is also clear that the former and later rain could not be expected at any time really, for they had their appointed season, you know? God appointed the season, praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Yeah. That was his faith there. You know, and so on, their season, and so on, like that, you know. So, finally, both were related to the long-looked-for harvest. For without them, there will neither be sowing nor reaping. The early rain for the sowing, later rain for the reaping, praise the Lord. So, just going to agriculture, that things in the Bible, it is to Israel to draw spiritual spiritual meaning to them and so on. So there is a striking similarity between this rainy season of Palestine and the church age. Yeah, that this is similarity and so on. At the beginning, how did they similar? So we can look at the church and see how the later rain begin and how it will end with the later rain, former rain begin, and how the later rain will end the church age too and so on. Let's look at that very quickly. We know what happened in Israel now. You know, from October to about November, from April to about October, dry season, pasture and so forth. From November, rain begin to come in little tiny. Then around the middle of November and so on, the heavy rain called the early rain come, or the former rain came, right? Then the heavy rain will go away some, and then it continues to rain too, but it won't be like heavy at the beginning. Then towards the harvest time and so forth, the heavy rain will come again, called the later rain. Now let's see if I read in the church history and so forth. So this is happening in the church and so on. Let's see. At the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, we are told in Matthew 3:5, you know, until that time, there have been no prophets in the land. From Malachi, 400 years, no prophets, right? Anyway, so Matthew 3:5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. That's about John the Baptist, right? When he began his ministry. Even in the early ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do we read? We are told in Matthew 4:25. And they are followed in great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So we see the beginning of the ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah and so forth, and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and so on. What are we talking about here? Just as that rainy season of Cana was heralded by preliminary showers that soon gave way to the copious falls of the former rain, so in the ministry of John the Baptist and of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see distinct movements of the Spirit, which told all those looking for the consolation of Israel that the season of the drought was over and that a new and glorious season of rain had begun. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. I don't know if you can see the parallel though, you know. That's how the New Testament era begins, talking about the former and the later rain, right, and some of that, you know. So anyway, at the outset of his ministry, speaking to Nathanael, the Lord even said it in John 1:50. Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, right? You know, Nathanael and so forth. Oh, he said, at the beginning of the, so he said, because I saw you, I saw you under the fig tree, and believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than this, amen? Like the rain in Israel, right? The early rain began a little bit and so on. Now I'm talking about that is in John 1:50, please. John 1:50. Discussion between the Lord and Nathanael and so on. At the beginning of his ministry and so forth, you know. So they were calling each other. Oh, we have seen the Messiah and so on. And anyway, so to Nathanael, you can read that in John 1:50 and so on. Anyway, and nearing the completion of the Lord's ministry, he said to those who will believe on him in John 14:12, we know that one, greater work than this shall ye do. Now, I'm bringing out the word greater, right? To show at the beginning, you know, like in the early rain, before the early rain of Israel began, there are little sprinkling here and there, then the heavy rain came. Even so here, ministry of John the Baptist and the Lord at the beginning, you know, and so on. You know, the drought, spiritual drought was going away. And the Lord promised greater things and some of that, you know. So, the former rain was at hand. And the day of Pentecost marked its commencement. So, the Lord began to do many things and so forth and that, you know. John the Baptist and some of that, you know. He began to do many things and some of that, you know. Then the Lord said, greater things shall you see and some of that, you know. And he promised his disciples to believe, all of us, that greater work and this shall they do. And so what you can see, the former rain was at hand. And the day of Pentecost marked its commencement. So, as Peter declared in Acts 2:17, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So we see what happened right there, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so on. And then we see, on the day of Pentecost, we can call it the former rain, really, if you want to praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah, it is. So the outpouring continued. So after Pentecost, what happened? Don't forget in Israel, after the former rain has fallen, where then it thins off, doesn't become heavy again, continue to rain anyway. So what happened to the church? The outpouring continued throughout the 4th century after the day of Pentecost, right? Gradually decreasing in power and frequency as time elapsed. And faith and spirituality declined. However, no matter what, throughout the ensuing centuries of the Dark Middle Ages, the showers continue here and there, now and again. And this shows that at no time or point, not even the dark ages, did the turning rain or spiritual blessings, it never really stopped, no matter how persecution came and so on, that, you know. So the rain of blessing, it never ceased. Never ceased at all. On the Pentecost, now persecution came, things went down like in Israel, you know, after the former rain, things came down, waiting for the harvest, before the heavy rain came, that's how rain come. So the same thing in Christendom and so forth. By the day of Pentecost, yes, so the great outpouring that came and so on, begin to dwell down, as faith begin to, you know, faith begin to dwindle and so on like that, you know. So anyway, but never at any time since Pentecost was there, no blessing at all of the Lord and so on like that, you know. So though the heavier outpouring of a revival were few and far apart in those dark ages, we know that the later rain is in preparation for the day of harvest. It is the last epoch of the rainy season prior to the final ingathering, you know. The harvest is clearly associated in Scripture with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of the age, even as the Lord himself explained to us in the parable of the tares and the real wheat in Matthew 13, 39 verses. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Praise the Lord. I pray that we see the parallel what I'm trying to draw here, you know. So. Now, the church age is a time of rain. We may look, like I said before, upon Pentecost as the commencement of the former rain. For it was during those first and powerful effusions of the Spirit that the gospel was preached or pressed throughout the civilized world, right? And the ground there prepare for the final harvest. Now, before the age closes, with the personal return of our Lord Jesus Christ, at harvest time, we must expect the later rain of promise, or the rain of ingathering. So since Pentecost, and God has sent revivals of different types and so on like that, you know, so part of the day of Pentecost and so on. We are looking for that latter rain, that last one, just like we said of Israel and so on like that, you know. From the Pentecost to the latter day, there have been outpourings of the Spirit, right? 1906 in our time, 1946-47, and something like that, you know, and different times. But there's going to be that last rain, you know, that before the final harvest and so on. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is this: how can the day of reaping come before this final season of the outpouring of the Spirit, which is so vital for the final maturing of the spiritual harvest? How can that be? Just as the rainy season of Palestine concluded with the same kind of rain as it began, you know, the Geshem, they call it in Hebrew, or heavy rain, so should we expect, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a season of mighty outpouring, eclipsing all that the church had ever experienced in revival. Praise the Lord. Amen. It has to be so by the word of the Lord, right? You know, so, and only comparable in character and in power with the former reign of the early church. That's why the church is sitting right now. Thank God for the many revival and some of that, you know. So, the scripture puts the matter beyond doubt when we are admonished in James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Don't forget in Acts 3:19 and so on, that, you know, repentance, then a refreshing, then the Lord will come, right? Praise the Lord. So in James 5:7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patient for it, until he received it early and later rain. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now happened in Israel, right? So God is going to do the same thing for the church as he closes the age. I don't know that, you know. Be ye also patient now, the Bible says. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord right now. We are in the age of rush, even from material to spiritual and so forth. We have to be very careful, and follow the scripture the way he said us to do at the end of the age, you know. That is the only way to really be ready. And now people don't know, they cannot act, they cannot pray for the rain, because they don't know. We pray that we that know will be active, you know, and be expecting. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, question as I finish here. Do we long for the day of harvest? Are we longing for the day of the harvest? Are we just sitting around? Do we grow impatient for the coming of the Lord? May we not. Amen. Praise the Lord. May we not. It's as though the Apostle James will curb you and I. You know, curb our restless spirit and command us to be patient by reminding us that the heavenly husbandman has been waiting all through this long season, right? Waiting for the fulfillment of his purposes. Waiting for the precious fruit of the earth at the time of harvest. And the scripture describes God as the God of patience, right? Many, many scriptures. Romans 15:5. Now the God of patience, he says, and consolation, you can read it for yourself. The God of patience, right? So we must be imitators of God. Praise the Lord. And imitating him in his patience, the God of patience, who have been waiting so much longer than we have. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So the other man knows, sir, and those also who labor as his servant should know what the Lord knows, right? That before the final harvest day can dawn at the coming of the Lord, the fruit of the earth must receive the early and the later rain. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we in this day can look backward to the former rain, we have still to look forward to the later rain, the final epoch of the age, prior to the coming of the Lord. Blessed be his holy name. Or prior to the day of harvest. If it has been shown that there is in the word of God a promise of revival for us today, and if there is there, if there is any evidence that we are in the purpose of God, moving into the era of the later rain, then let us heed the word of God to Israel. Let us do what they will do in the coming days. And the prophet Zechariah told us what to do, what it is. And this is Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the later rain, amen. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. In paraphrasing this morning, we went to Israel, we went to their family, agricultural thing, natural, force, and the spiritual, right? And we saw that from April to about October, drought and past grand and so on, David lamented about it, Isaiah talked about it, and so on like that. And we know that around the past October, then through November, the rain began in a small way, around November it becomes so heavy and very, you know, gutsy and so on. They call it the, you know, they call it the, you know, Geshem, and so on that, you know, gutsy of rain and so on. They call it the former rain, or early rain, or the moray, you know. Partly, that rain, that's the former rain, rain continues, but it takes down, not as heavy as before. And near, around the reaping time, the harvest time, then the rain comes again, the same intensity as it was in the November, which is the early rain, call it the later rain, and so on. Went through church history and so on like that. You know, the same thing is happening right now. So, and the Lord, after 400 years of no prophet in the land, after Malachi and so on, John the Baptist, the voice cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and so on. And many people draw to him. Even the Pharisees came and he rebuked them, and so on like that, Bring forth the fruit of repentance, he even said, amen, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. And don't begin to say we have Abraham as our father. God can ask of this ground, raise children unto Abraham. Praise the Lord. Bring forth the fruit of repentance. He rebuked them and so on. Anyway, so we see that one idea. So there we see the Lord begin to minister and so forth. And he told Nathanael, before I say I saw you under the fig tree, don't believe. I tell you, greater things are caught than you see. Then he told us that he needs, that John 14:12, greater things will shall ye do and so on. Then all the way the Pentecost came, Pentecost marked our former rain, actually. and the great outpouring, as well as, you know about it, and so on. And from there, that Egypt came, we know that, and so on, and the things begin to change away. And there is no Lord everywhere, persecution and so on, but not at any time at that time, there is always a blessing of the Holy Spirit, no matter how small it is, and so forth. And we are now waiting for that final and the later rain. Our job is to do what Jesus is to do, the Kadaya saying, well, if we know what we know, let us do what we do to ask the Lord for it in time of the later rain. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing this song here. Because there shall be shower of blessing. This is a promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing. Sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Yes, we need it, Lord. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Precious reviving again over the hills and the valleys, sand of abundance of rain, showers of blessing, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Yes, we need Lord. Mercy drops round us and falling. But for the showers we clean, there shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling. But for the showers we clean. There shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that this day today we bring it. Today the mass for. Now as to God we are confessing.
Now unto God we are confessing.
Now as on Jesus we
Jesus we come. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need.
We need it, Lord.
Mercy drops round us are falling. Walk for the showers we please.
Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the law of a spiritual blessing for a long time now, but over here and there, there is the moving of the Holy Spirit, different fellowships, different groups and so on. But we are looking for the epoch, Lord, before the final harvest, the coming of the Lord. Father, now that we know, we that know by the grace of God, not anything we have done, help us not to be idle. Help us to continue to call like Zechariah 10:1 says. Let us not do as they who are ignorant, who don't know the purpose and the plans of God. The Bible says to Abraham, will I hide anything that I will do from Abraham? So he told him by the judgment to come to Sodom and all of those things and so forth, And so we too, Lord, you have shown us so many things for the end of the age. In our prayer life individually, let us join the voice of those who know and are believing and calling for that that literally, the final harvest is the coming of the Lord. And the Lord will always bless his people. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, in Jesus' holy name, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Go ahead, bro.
So the rain in the natural.
Yeah.